Sunshine Meets on Dublin's easy place to relax.
Sunshine 106.8.
What is the thing you are really fearing? You can fear a dog or darkness or a bad shape, an ugly face, but anxiety is something diffuse. Children say, I fear something. Something, what is that something? Something which you don't know what it will be. So I felt both fear and anxiety. And anxiety is a very heavy feeling.
Batsheva Dagan, a woman born in Poland who throughout her life has also lived in Germany before finally settling down in former Palestine. She has accomplished many things over her 89 years. Having written books such as If Stars Could Speak and Imagination, Blessed Be, Cursed Be, Reminiscence from There, she also has raised her own family whilst overcoming the ghosts that haunt her past. This documentary delves into that past and looks at one of the most traumatic periods of her life. Born in Lodz, Poland in 1925, Batsheva was the eighth of nine children. Not an unusual number of children for a family of that era. Her parents were hardworking, which meant that Batsheva was often left in the charge of her siblings, leading to the typical family disputes.
As it happens in a big family, there were coalitions. So I was in a coalition with my eldest sister, who was my spiritual mother, because my mother was very busy. With my little sister and with one of my brothers. It was very common in Jewish families in Poland. My father had a sister who had seven children and a brother who had, he had less. But in general, this was the number, 7, 8, 9. When I was at the puberty time, I was not good for my father, as it ever happens, you know, because this is the time to say no. They were not very religious, but we kept the holidays and the kitchen was kosher. And my father went to the synagogue.
After the beginning of World War II, Nazis began ordering all Jews to live within certain, very specific areas of big cities called ghettos, in a bid to try and escape this persecution from the Nazis and their sympathizers. Batsheva's father moved the family from Lodz to Radom, a city in central Poland, to avoid being incarcerated in the ghetto. However, this plan was not to last.
There were rumors about erecting a ghetto, and we had family in Radom. His late brother was a very rich man. He had a foundry, but he wasn't alive, his wife and his children. So we got one single room which served the workers at the foundry. My father took me first to Radom, and we had one small room and no toilet. And, you know, the conditions were very, very primitive. Poland is 95% Catholic, and they hated Jews because we crucified Jesus.
Just as there were Nazi collaborators, there were also those who supported the Jewish community or were of Jewish descent themselves who tried to help, such as Mordechai Anilevich, leader of the Jewish Fighting Organization, the group that instigated the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising of 1943. Batsheva became involved in this group while locked in the ghetto.
Well, I was in Lodz too. But I joined because I heard that there will be a leader sent from Warsaw who was responsible for the group. And, you know, I had the feeling to belong to youngsters. I had a task. I had to bring the newspaper, which was called Under Against the Stream, and I got it from the leader of the uprising, Mordechai Anilevich. He was a good-looking man. You know, at this time I was looking at the noses, at people, if they look Jewish or not. So some who were non-Jewish but had such a, you know, eagle nose, they were victims too. The looks was a problem, to live or to die. We were scared to be together because our looks were full of anxiety, and the Poles were specialists discovering Jews.
In order to escape the ghetto and the persecution, Batshava devised a plan with her friend Janina, a non-Jewish woman, on how to get her to work in Germany.
Well, she was caught by the German to compulsory work in Germany. But she didn't want. And she knew that I want. And she gave me her papers. So I was her. And I came, and at that place, a German lawyer, came looking for a maid to have help at home. He gave me a letter, and I went myself. So I left Radom, Warsaw, Berlin, Schwerin. I think this was the most scaring time. Even more than, well, it was scaring in the ghetto, but to be on false papers with a strange name.
Although Batshava lived in fear of being caught, she continued to work for the family that she had been assigned to.
They were idealists. I can't say kindness, but, you know, cold. In course of time, they liked me. I didn't have contact with the children, only once with the boy who had an exam in Latin, and he asked me to help him. And I did, because I studied Latin in Poland, and I was reading German books, and they said, our mate is intelligent. I went out twice a week, and I was looking for friends at the hotel near the railway station. There were several Polish girls, and they were my friends.
After several months, fearful of being caught, the inevitable happened. A member of the Secret State Police, otherwise known as the Gestapo, arrived at the house to arrest Batshava for being a Jew.
I was denounced. Very few people knew that I went to Germany. And a Gestapo came and asked me what is my name. But I saw he had a paper with my name. So three times he shouted out, what's your name and what's your name? And I said, I saw my name, and I said, enough of this existential. They took me with them. He came with the secretary, and the secretary gave me an apple. All the clerks came out of the room to see that Jewess, because they didn't see a Jewish girl. And they looked, oh, she's nice.
Batshava was arrested and taken away to prison. Before long, they would send her on her way to one of the most notorious places on earth.
I had no idea about those prisons. It was all, something unknown to me. And I was scared to say that I am Jewish. So when the woman who was responsible for that place, she asked me, child, what are you doing here? Very friendly. And I said, I am Jewish. And she didn't speak. Prisons were my hotels because, you know, they knew where they sent me, but I didn't know. So it is a very long distance from Schwerin to Auschwitz. I came to Auschwitz on a regular train because I came from Germany and not from a ghetto. From the ghettos, they led people on tracks and then to the train, and you know, the closed train. I arrived as a normal human being, which is very seldom.
May 25th, 1943, World War II was entering one of its darkest periods. Hitler was near the height of his power. Jews, gypsies, and homosexuals were hunted and rounded up to be put into the concentration camps such as Auschwitz. Jewish woman Batsheva Dagan, who had for so long resisted capture and persecution, was finally arrested by the Gestapo. She was held in prison before being transferred by train across Germany to one of the most infamous concentration camps of World War II, Auschwitz. Batsheva had gone from living a normal life to one of forced labour and torture. On arrival at Auschwitz, she was put through the camp's initiation process.
Well, they took me to a sauna and they took away everything which I had. My watch, which was so dear to me, and they shaved off my hair and tattooed my number. The sleeping conditions were such: 3-story bunks and on each 8 to 10 women. I remember in the beginning I didn't sleep with friends whom I made later, but everyone spoke a different language, so the means of communication was mimic and movement, you know. They waked at 4 o'clock in the morning with shouting, "Coffee, coffee," whole in German, "take your coffee," but it wasn't coffee. My first work was to pick crops, and my hands were bleeding. What was important was to have a piece of bread and to have friends, to share feelings and hopes.
While the majority of their time was spent working, Batsheva and the other members of the camp were, on special occasions, given free time for themselves.
We had one day without work, and we were longing for culture. No survivor will tell you. We were longing for culture, so we had people from all Europe. One was a dancer from Brussels. The other was a writer. The third was reading a book, and it was a one-day culture on Sundays. Maybe I don't remember, because we didn't have a calendar and we didn't have watches. And the time was one big entity.
Over time, Batsheva made friends in the camp, which became like a surrogate family. However, while in the camp, she never encountered any of her own family. That was until the fateful day when she met Alunia.
I was in shock because I didn't know that she was sent to Auschwitz, but it was joy covered with tears, hugged and kissed. And I asked, she was a mother of 2 children. She had a daughter, she was then 11, and a boy who was 8. And they were transferred from one camp to another after the liquidation of the second ghetto. And different prisoners were transferred from one to another camp. So they came and said, "There are 2 children in the transport." And she had the feeling, "These are her." So she asked the Nazi doctors to let the children in. And they laughed at her because she was a good nurse and a beautiful lady and very lovely. And so they allowed it, the children and her sister, they came in.
Not only was it a joyous day, but it changed her life in the camp. Aluna was able to get her work in the infirmary. While it was nicer work than the fields, it didn't come without its own challenges. It was here she came into contact with various diseases and ailments, such as lice and typhus. It was also where she came in contact with one of the camp's most feared figures.
I saw Dr. Mengele because when I was sick, and he wanted to send 500 women to the gas chamber. So he came, had white gloves on, showing with his hand. In the revere, he came to the hospital and he had two doctors who were also prisoners. He showed left or right, and they wrote the number. I said, I am not going to queue up, because I will not return, because I had on whole my body scabies. So I knew if I go, he will pick up my number and he will send me to the gas. Then an officer was standing opposite my bed and he smiled at me. And, you know, I saved myself because I asked him if I may go back to my bed. And he said yes. He saved me, but he sent others to the gas chamber.
Shows of compassion like this from any of the camp's workers or guards were few and far between, but weren't unheard of either.
A soldier came, brought me a sandwich with an egg, which was something, and he said, don't lose hope. We are losing in Africa. And it was like Messiah for me. Probably he was one of the good people.
Unfortunately, the acts of cruelty and torture far outweighed the sympathy shown by guards like these. Other officers had no issues following orders, such as SS officer Irma Grisa.
When I worked in the first squad, picking crops, she was a beautiful young lady. And she was walking with a dog with a stick in her hand, and she was very cruel. She was beating and shouting, and it is, I think that it's only because I could suffer those terrible experiences. I wanted very much to bear all this and to get out.
But Chava's cousin Aluna was not only able to get her work in the infirmary, she was also instrumental in moving her into what was seen as a safer part of the camp that some of the prisoners referred to as Canada.
They didn't want to take me to the Canada because I lost for the second time my hair because of the high temperature. So I was like an old man, and they were standing like this. Aluna pushed me under the arms. Sonder means in German a special commando. They burned the bodies. And they were the first who saw all the packages, all the suitcases, and they brought those to Canada. And we opened it, put on a pile, and took out each piece separately.
Canada was seen as somewhat of a safe haven, but like all parts of the camp, it also had a dark side. Located between gas chambers 1 and 2, Batshava had full view of how life in the camp ended for over 1 million men, women and children.
I saw the whole procedure, and I saw how they do it. Well, they had the Cyclone B gas, they opened it, and there were high windows through over the window, and then I heard 20 minutes of cry. And then it was silent.
Auschwitz, the world's most infamous concentration camp. Home to millions of Polish, Jewish and Soviet prisoners during World War II. Batshava Dagan arrived in the camp in 1943 and spent 600 days or 20 months working in various parts of the camp, hoping to avoid execution. With over a million people murdered, freedom for so many came at its own cost. In January 1945, as the Soviet army advanced on Poland, the prisoners of Auschwitz were rounded up and forced on a three-day march, where they were put on trains to other camps closer to Germany. Some of those that refused were shot on the spot.
There was an order to march out in fifths, and we didn't know where to. So it took 3 days and three nights until we got to the train to open wagons. Auschwitz has many camps. So from each camp, those who could march, raus, schnell. Alunia stayed because she found her children. And, you know, and Alunia didn't want to march with the children, because she knew they will not survive. She stayed till the liberation. Yeah, my dear Alunia, the book, If Stars Could Only Speak, tells this story for children, and my books are, as I said, with a happy end, because I don't want to take away faith in humanity. They didn't want us to tell the story.
Batshava's march finished in Germany and freedom came within weeks.
I was liberated on the 2nd of May, and it was the most beautiful. Well, I have many beautiful days in my life after the liberation, like having children, studying, being, you know, awarded. I got from Yad Vashem. I was the Woman of the Year. And I got 2 medals from Germans, from the president, for my work against forgetting.
Freedom came for Batshava on May the 2nd, 1945. But like so many others, she did not know if her family were dead or alive. However, Batshava did have some of her surrogate family with her. She was brought to Belgium, where many Jewish families helped to rebuild the lives of survivors.
Jewish families in Brussels took for the first time into their homes the survivors. And I was from the 7 girls, with one I was in a very close friendship. So everyone got his family, and we were the last. Yolanta is her name. And we didn't want to part what I did with my sister. So we didn't want to part. And one family said, if they don't want to part, we take 2. And then I saw in their home, there was a military coat with Palestine, and it was him.
The him she refers to would be her future husband.
I was almost 20, between 19 and 20. He fell in love with me first.
Batshava had found love. Over time, she learnt the fate of her family. All but her and 3 brothers had survived. 2 lived in Russia and 1 was in Palestine, where Batshava would eventually set up home. In such a short space of time, Batshava went from Poland to Germany to Belgium and now Palestine, and credits all the experiences in all of these countries for making her who she is today.
Well, first of all, being an Israeli gave me strength that I belong that somebody cares, and I was very well accepted also by people who didn't know me. They helped me to study, and I love Israel. And the Polish elements are, of course, still with me. I am a conglomerate. Well, and you know, my Polish today is very good. They were crazy. They said, I have to teach them to speak correctly Polish. Well, Yiddish, I practice less, but yeah, no problem.
However, her newfound identity did come at a personal loss. She felt she was let down by God and began to question her faith.
Well, I wasn't very religious, but I was not hostile. But after all that, I said, I don't believe if God allowed that all that happens, there is no God. I was in quarrel. I believe there is a power which, but if you call it God or universe or nature, I don't know.
The scars of Auschwitz stay with her to this day, both mentally and physically. While Batshava was able to rebuild her life, she is forever aware that others were not so lucky.
Well, they are trying to do their best, and there are still survivors who are not well cared of. I am not a typical survivor. I am a survivor. But I looked for other contents even in hell. It's because I am a combination. A survivor, a psychologist, a teacher, trainer, and also and an author.
But Batshava believes that proper education could have prevented the atrocities that she and so many others suffered, a belief that helped her shape her future career choices.
I am a child psychologist, and I am a teacher's trainer, and I believe that education is the key to a good or bad world, and I believe that even in hell, you have a choice. You don't have to be a beast. It depends on your own values. I think that a young child must learn to distinguish between good and bad. And it is not so difficult to teach him if we are conscious how important it is. That's why education is so important to me.
Bearing no ill will to the new generation of Germans, and in what should be seen as a testament to the person she is and the life she lives, Batshava feels that to blame them for their ancestors' mistakes is a crime in itself.
I cannot blame neither the second generation nor the third, and now the fourth. They didn't commit those crimes. And if I speak to, the reaction of German youngsters is they are ashamed. In Berlin, I was in an excellent gymnasium, and they said, I am ashamed to belong to that nation.
Batshava Dagan now resides in Israel. Through her life's experiences, she has become an author, psychologist, and humanitarian. She has made it a mission in her life to explain to the world the importance of education so that the world never forgets of man's inhumanity to man.